Oh, the asteroid belt, Thorndike exclaimed. Fine. Kill two birds with one stone, huh? Build this thing and at the same time clear out the menaces to inert interplanetary navigation? But how about the miners? All covered. The ones actually in development will be let alone. They're not menaces anyway, as they all have broadcasters. The tramp miners we send, at patrol expense and grubstake, to some other system to do their mining. But there's one more point before we flit. Are you sure you can ship to the second stage without an accident? Positive. Build another one around it, mount new bergs, exciters, and screens on it, and let this one, machines and all, go in to feed the kitty, whatever it is. QX. Let's go, fellows. Two huge Tellurian freighters were at hand, and, holding the small framework between them in a net of tractors and pressers, they set off blithely toward Sol. They took a couple of hours for the journey. There was no hurry, and in the handling of this particular freight, caution was decidedly of the essence. Arrived at destination, the crews tackled with zest and zeal this new game. Tractors lashed out, seizing chunks of iron. "Pick out the little ones, men," cautioned Kinnison. "Nothing over about 10 feet in section dimension will go into this frame. Better wait for the second frame before you try to handle the big ones." "We can cut them up," Thorndike suggested. "What have we got these shear planes for?" "QX if you like, just so you keep the kitty fed." "We'll feed her." And the game went on. Chunks of debris, some rock, but mostly solid meteoric nickel iron, shot toward the vessels and the ravening sphere, becoming inertialess as they entered a wide-flung zone. Pressers seized them avidly, pushing them through the interstices of the framework, holding them against the voracious screen. As they touched the screen, they disappeared. No matter how fast they were driven, the screen ate them away, silently and unspectacularly, as fast as they could be thrown against it. A weird spectacle indeed, to see a jagged fragment of solid iron, having a mass of thousands of tons, drive against that screen and disappear. For it vanished, utterly, along a geometrically perfect spherical surface. From the opposite side, the eye could see the mirror sheen of the metal at the surface of disintegration. It was as though the material was being shoved out of our familiar three-dimensional space into another universe, which, as a matter of cold fact, may have been the case. For not even the men who were doing the work made any pretense of understanding what was happening to that iron. Indeed, the only entities who did have any comprehension of the phenomenon, the 40-odd geniuses whose mathematical wizardry had made it possible, thought of it and discussed it, not in the limited three-dimensional symbols of everyday existence, but only in the language of high mathematics, a language in which few indeed are able really to readily think.